those who sanctify the flesh of pigs and declare it sacred in the garden after first eating its hind end, those eating filth and those eating such as mice will perish altogether, Jehovah gives the oracle, Isaiah 66 and 17. Let's read it again, shall we? Little children, those who sanctify the flesh of pigs and declare it sacred in the garden after first eating its hind end, those eating filth, those also eating such as mice, will perish altogether. Jehovah gives the oracle. Or, those eating filth and those eating such as mice will perish altogether, Jehovah gives the oracle. It's wrong to eat filth. And it's what that says, right? Very clear. But pigs were something that were in the days of Isaiah, when Israel was still under the law of Moses, pigs were also considered as loathsome and not to be eaten, perhaps because of the, well, we would just be speculating, but during the Israelites' sojourn in the wilderness, when they were 40 years in the wilderness, they didn't have refrigerators or anything like that. I mean, there was no way that they could properly preserve the meat or anything, so there are particular things that happen with pork when it's not properly preserved that make it unhealthy to eat. But that may not be the reason, but that's still one possible reason why pigs were considered to be filthy, right? Or not to be eaten, at least. They were forbidden or proscribed, they were on the list of things not to eat for the Jewish people. But so why is Isaiah bringing that up is one question that would come up, because Moses already mentioned this about pigs. So it's something more than that is being talked about, it would appear. It would, that would be the first thought that would come to mind, is that Isaiah's mentioning it, and he mentions mice. Now I'm trying to think, are mice? I haven't researched it yet about this. The jumping rodent, is that something that was prohibited? Let's see. The jerboa. Yeah, I think the jerboa was prohibited. That's right, in the Mosaic Law. Leviticus 11:29. The mole rat was unclean or filthy, or it wasn't to be eaten because it was, that was why it was not to be eaten. It was unclean. The mole rat and the jerboa and the lizard according to its kind, and the gecko or gecko fanfoot and the large lizard and the newt and the sand lizard and the chameleon. These are unclean to you. Verses 30 and 31 of Leviticus chapter 11. And also, of course, 29, as we said at first, these are unclean to you. But even touching them in their death state would cause one of the people who did so to be unclean until the evening, and they'd have to wash themselves and be unclean until the evening. They were considered unclean because of evidently some kind of contagion, germs. Just realized something here. But I want to, is that better? It's too dark now, I think, maybe. Yeah, I had not yet tuned my brightness. If you find the brightness is not correct on your screen, then I use my own screen at a fairly dim level, so I'm not attempting to optimize it for everybody else's screen. You might find it works better if you reduce the brightness of your screen. As far as watching certain videos, like, for example, the ones that I'm making, don't know about that. A lot of thoughts come to mind. Something that was, let's go back to Isaiah 66 there. Yeah, so the New World Translation said instead of mouse, it said jumping rodent. But, yeah, there's some... I started out today thinking... I just received some packages, which was great, but then I didn't have an easy time with the unpacking of the and the setup of the new device that I ordered. Because I just woke up as well. It was starting out to be not the perfect day, but I think I figured that out, and it was actually turning out already. I solved the problem of where to put this big bulky device. That's a big step forward. So look at this. We're going to see David and Goliath coming up. A beautiful painting and a beautiful photo of Brigitte Bardot, famous for her beauty, movie actress from some years ago. In our future studies, we will see that, hopefully. Now, we were on Chapter 7. We're at the very end of Chapter 7 right now, aren't we? Of the Ark of Urartu. We just finished... Yes, paragraph 11 of Chapter 7. We just finished, so we're on paragraph 12 of Chapter 7. 2011, March 17th, I wrote, me, this is what I'm saying... Quote, I'd really like it if you scratched my head right now. Dream wife, this is what my dream wife is saying. Quote, I'd like that very much. End quote. That was a note, it's a rather personal note, from notebook 27, page 21. WG being the initials of yours truly. That's one of my notebooks. Therefore, but 2011, March 18th, 0706 hours. Back to the less personal notes now. The Hurrian Ark, it's still rather personal. It mentions a version of the Hurrian Ark, which, yeah, we might be playing if we have time. It's another piano improvisation. I don't know if it's any good, though. I haven't listened to it recently. But 2011, March 22nd, 0743 hours, Egyptian history. Plutarch's date for the death of Osiris and the eclipse of Nimrod are arising. Okay, it's Plutarch who dates the death of Osiris without giving the year number, because they didn't have year numbers back then until we arrived at the Common Era. We never had year numbers in an absolute sense until then, but he would have given the day and the month, and he did, in the Egyptian calendar, right? It was Hathor 17, if I recall. We've harped on that over and over. But the eclipse of Nimrod is something we discovered. Plus, there's the Egyptian history. All those things, those three things, Egyptian history, Plutarch, giving the date of death of Osiris, and the eclipse of Nimrod, given by us, are arising at such a time discussed above when the sun passes through the scorpion, right? We talked about that. The constellation Scorpius is what's being referred to, and we did talk about that. We've studied that already. 0747 hours. I wrote back on March 22nd, 2011, our date for the death of Osiris and the assuming of power by his brother Thoth is thus 2747 BCE, right? Which is 27 years after the death I mean, after the eclipse of Nimrod. That's right, after the eclipse of Nimrod. Excuse me. 2774 was the eclipse of Nimrod. 27 years later, then, was 2747. But the reason why we did that was because another thing Plutarch gave was he gave the year relative by saying it was the 28th year of the reign of Osiris, or he didn't specify the reign, but the 28th year, which one interpretation is the 28th year of his reign. So we took it from 2774 and got 27 years later, 2747, year 28 of his reign, in that way, earlier by 12 years than our date. That's also earlier, we're saying, by 12 years than our date proposed for the killing of Nimrod by Haig, which we said was evidently by subtracting 12 from 2747. That was 2735, evidently. We have to check and go back. I think we should do that. Let's see, 2735? It's not there. Why is that? Not found. It's odd. Strange. Okay. Let's see. Haig. Let's just search for Haig's name. Right? Go back to the previous one. Oh, the name Haig only occurs. Well, this is part two. That's why. We're looking at part two. Okay, yeah, we have to go back to part one. How are we doing? Well, we've only used 12 minutes. We're okay, I think. More serious matter might be if nature calls here. Nature seems to be calling at the moment, but hopefully I don't have to answer the call just yet. Let's see, Haig. Let's just search for 2737. 2735. There it is. This dates Haig's killing Nimrod as 2735 because of the reign of Nimrod, 6 years after the year we calculated as the Tower of Babel, the end of the Tower of Babel, right? Is that what it was? Yeah. The division of the earth, right? We dated to 2741. At that time, we thought of that as the dispersion. When we wrote this article, that's why we thought 2741 was, it was 541 years after 3282. Do the math, it's 2741. 6 years for the reign of Nimrod after that gives 2735, which we calculated as the date when Haig killed Nimrod. Okay, search for Haig again in part two so we don't have to scroll around here. Right here, here we are. But that's also 2 years, 2747 is 2 years after our birth of Peleg in 2749 BCE, right? 12 years earlier than we said was the date that Haig killed Nimrod. Or I should say 27 years earlier, that 2747 was then the date when Haig killed Nimrod. So 2747 is earlier by 12 years than the date when Haig killed Nimrod, and later by 2 years than our birth of Peleg in 2749 BCE, at the time of the writing of this article. Now, you know, we haven't really come back and rewrote it, or we haven't rewritten it, I should say, to be grammatically correct. We have not rewritten this in the time since the writing of this paragraph. So it's still a very potentially valid statement here, right? It's interesting. Is it possible that Haig killed Nimrod in 2735? Well, not if Nimrod began to rule in... Yeah, it's hard to say. Let's see. Well, here we're considering Osiris is not the same person as Nimrod. Also, Osiris died in 2747, and we didn't consider Nimrod as ruling until 2741. So we've done calculations in different ways, you know. This is not, but there's only a 12-year difference between the two dates, 2747 and 2735. It's not a big problem when you're dealing with dates that are that old. It's just a 12-year possible discrepancy if Osiris is the same person as Nimrod, you see? So we'd have to reconcile why that 12-year, or we don't have, but we can't always know why it's there, but we have to decide on how to reconcile it. Now let's continue reading. The death of Shem in 2780 BCE, another date of ours, 2780, that's based on the generations of the patriarchs, how long each father lived until the birth of his son, and right, or until he begat his son, as the language said, whether that means the conception or the birth. I don't think it's entirely unambiguous, perhaps, but we assumed the birth, and we used the Greek Septuagint to arrive at that, 2780. And that date preceded the eclipse of Nimrod by a mere 6 years. Interesting, right? But when, at that time, the loss of Shem may have opened up the way for the overbearing ways of Nimrod. In 2780, Shem died, so he was of the line of, well, he was the favored line of Noah's three sons. So when he died, it may have given an opportunity for the other lines, such as in this case the line of Ham, from whose line Nimrod stemmed, to become more dominant, so more overbearing. And that may be why the Tower of Babel came about, or it's hard to say, without knowing, without the complete history of everything that happened. If only we could find it. And maybe it's possible we still have the opportunity to find an ancient record of, and maybe there's already been one found, I just haven't seen it. But we're looking. We would be fascinated if we saw more information about what happened in the time of Nimrod and the Tower of Babel, and or the Tower of Babel, or on the plains of Shinar, whatever happened there, with regard to Nimrod, the Tower of Babel, and all of those things. For example, the death of Shem being another thing we just talked about there. Were the death of Osiris in 2747 BCE to mark the beginning of the dispersion of the nations, right? We talked about that in later articles. 2745 was the dispersion, we said in later articles, and the division of the land, 2741. Division of the land not being exactly the same as the dispersion of the nations, according to this, but maybe there were 6 years during which time Nimrod ruled, or his name also possibly having been Enmerkar, who tried to reinstate things after the dispersion. After the Tower of Babel fell, after the confusion of languages, that's what it was. After the confusion of languages, which was led to the complete failure of the Tower of Babel, and it led to the dispersion of the nations, and it led to the dividing up of the land of the earth. So, you know, Enmerkar may have, since there's a story about Enmerkar, and, you know, where we might also identify him as Nimrod, which we've also talked about before, then there may have been that 6 years when he was ruling before he died, when he was trying to regather all the nations. And, he was trying to bring the people back to prevent the birth of nations at that point. So how consistent might the birth of Peleg in 2749 be with Genesis 10:25, where it says the earth was split in the days of Peleg? Some people, by the way, think the dividing of the earth means some kind of tectonic plate movement where the continents were split apart at that time. So that's what some people think. So there's some dispute on that, but in the days of Peleg, it says in Genesis 10:25, the earth was divided. We'd have to look up what the Hebrew word meant for divided, but, you know, I'm sure many people have studied that. Can we look that up right now? Let's see. Let's look it up in the Bible Hub. Genesis 10:25. See what we find there. 10:25. The earth was divided. Yeah, it says the same words in the King James. If this is the King James, yeah, this looks like it is the King James. Unto, okay. Well, we could also look at it here. That's right, we have a multi-version thing. Study Bible says the earth was divided. Same words. Byington says the earth was divided. King James, the earth was divided. American Standard, was the earth divided? Rotherham, was the earth divided? And our version, well, I don't have a personal version, but the reference Bible says the earth was divided. Okay. Okay. All right. That's early morning. Early morning activities, clearing the air passageways and so on. It's wonderful to be feeling healthy all year round, which is just a great gift. And the power of vitamin C prevents the need to worry about infections. It's such a magnificent gift of God, still unappreciated by some people. To a large degree, in fact, there's still many, many other things that are done instead of the simple treatment with vitamin C as the cure of all these infections, including the common cold, right? I was always told there's no cure for the common cold, and I believed it. I believed there was no cure until finally, it took me until I was in my 60s, I guess. Was it? Before, yeah, I was in my 60s when I first finally caught on to the fact about vitamin C, that it really does cure infections. If you take enough at the right times, and if you take it, you know, you can take a whole large amount if you want, but if you take too much, you might get intestinal gas, and that can be painful, so you probably want to take 2 grams every 20 minutes, or, you know, or less if you weigh less proportionally than an adult human. So or, you know, the average adult male, but 2 grams every 20 minutes, 2 grams every 15 minutes, whatever, something like that, can cure any infection virtually, even if you have to take several pounds of vitamin C over several days. By doing it that way, it can cure. There's no limit, except maybe it can't cure AIDS, although it can remove the symptoms, but it can't cure it because it's genetic. But anyway, the birth of Peleg, how consistent is that, the 2749, to say that that was in the days of Peleg, when the earth was divided? If Osiris died in 2747, that looks very good, doesn't it? Isn't that remarkable agreement with, that was the days of Peleg if he was 2 years old at the time it happened, so, or if we're talking about 2735 even, it's only 14 years after the birth of Peleg, in 2749. Horus, as Egypt's god of war and hunting, this is a new line of thought here, the patron deity of Upper Egypt's capital at Nekhen, was the son of Osiris. Yes, Horus was the son of Osiris in Egyptian mythology, right? Called Harmerti. Compare that with Narmer. Harmerti, that's very similar to Narmer, is it not? If the H is N, when in the Russian language they write N just the same as we write H. Isn't that true? I think that's true. So, but Narmerti, it sounds like Narmer, or the Greek, well, in the Greek, H would be not the same as N. H is like a long E sound in the Greek language, but the Russian alphabet is somewhat related to Greek, though. That's why I mentioned that. But if Narmer is this person, Horus, in other words, therefore Horus would be Nimrod, the warrior who, as the Chinese Qi Yu, invented weapons. Qi Yu lived during the time of Shennong, 2737 to 2699 BCE. That's the time of rulership of Shennong, and also that of Huang Di, the Yellow Emperor, whose rulership was 2699 to 2588. He ruled for 111 years, evidently. If I do the math right there, I just woke up, so I'm not sure if I'm doing it right, but with about 48 years of rule required to span from 2747 to 2699, for Horus, in other words, if he began to rule at the death of Osiris, and if he's Nimrod, but he's ruling for 48 years, right, until the rule of the Yellow Emperor, according to this. And one of the opposers of Qi Yu was Shennong. And that's why, because he lived at the same time as, well, because they lived at the same time as each other, we're not attempting to make one the successor of the other. So we're just saying 2747 to 2699 when the Yellow Emperor began to rule. But that 48 years from that 2747 to 2699 is less than the 69 years attributed to Nimrod's own rule, he being warrior Qi Yu in this analogy, and Shelah being Shennong, and Heber being Huang Di, as the Bible here relates to China. This is all sort of theoretical. From 2699, counting 69 minus 48 equals 21 additional years, makes the end of Nimrod's reign about 2678 BCE, which is 8 years after the conventional start for Old Kingdom Egypt. At the time that I wrote this, I got that from Wikipedia, I think, the beginning of Old Kingdom Egypt, 2685 BCE. The Yellow Emperor, Heber, is said to have had a palace in the Kunlun Mountains between Shinar and China. This is a fascinating tale. Named Jade. His palace was named the Jade Palace. And he was the Yellow Emperor, whom we identified as Heber of the Bible. 0939 hours Heber. Later moved east to the Yellow River area. We say that because that's the area from which the Chinese know the person called the Yellow Emperor. Now, 0954 hours, may one consider the possible journey of Heber as he may have found his way to China by the Kunlun Mountains? The route of the Kunlun Mountains. May one consider the possible journey of Heber, as he may have found his way to China by the Kunlun Mountains route, and how his son Peleg may have been left in Shinar. And we don't know much. So as we consider this, it'll be a very sketchy consideration, very rudimentary or basic, very basic consideration here, but the story of the Jade Palace is what is so intriguing about this, because where was the Jade Palace? It was in the Kunlun Mountains, in between Shinar and China. In other words, it was along the route, but it's so remarkable because that would then appear to give credence to the idea that the Yellow Emperor started somewhere west of the Kunlun Mountains, and or at least as far west as the Kunlun Mountains, but possibly even further west, according to that that account of the Jade Palace in the Kunlun Mountains. It does make a perfect merging of the two histories of the biblical and the Chinese, right? It's just phenomenal. In that, now we've got a minute. We've only got a minute. What have we got in this? What have we got here? I'm gonna pop up this thing. It's got a download. Oh, really? Okay. That's it for today's study. Thank you so much for listening and watching. I'm Ward Green, and in my behalf, this is Sissy, and this is Star saying bye for now. I love you very much, and that we studied the end of the last paragraph of Chapter 7 today of the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express. Have a wonderful day. Take care.